This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
A long lead pass brings the Leafs and Brown in on the left wing. Brown into the corner, slid by one, works in back of the net, centers in front of the goal, the rebound scores! Johnson was in front of the goal, but it's Nazem Kadri who's able to tuck it off a player, and the Leafs gain the lead with 3:20 to go.
And it was insurmountable. The Leafs win it by a score of 5-3 over Minnesota. Hyman with the double. The postgame roundtable is brought to you by Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. 5-3, give me your thoughts.
You know what? Leafs look good at times.
Yeah.
They look bad at times. There was right before Minnesota scored their goal in the third period there. I mean, there was three to four straight shifts of solid pressure by Minnesota. And Leafs couldn't close off the cycles. They were giving pucks away. They actually looked slow. I think they're lucky to get out of this one. It wasn't that they played terrible. It's just, there's some things. I think if Minnesota had a little more finish, it might have been a different outcome. But again, you got to look at Freddie Anderson's play. I mean, he came up with some huge saves throughout the course of the game, and point blankers too. So I know you keep saying he's part of the team and doing his job.
He's on the roster. He's on the ice.
But boy, oh boy, you can't keep exposing him to great opportunities right in the gut.
Well, he made 38 saves. Let's go back to Minnesota. Ralphie's with us. Ralphie, what did you see tonight?
I thought their first 18 minutes were their best. And then I thought the stall goal late in the first was a real adrenaline boost for Minnesota. And I thought the Leafs rang it on the last, 41 minutes or so. So I give Minnesota credit. I mean, they've lost a couple of tough losses coming into this game. And I think, you expected from them there was going to be some sort of pushback. And even though... You know, the Leafs, the power play magic to start, then a bit of a fluke on the second goal for Toronto. And you think, okay, this is going to be an easy one. But Stahl's goal late and a strong second period for Minnesota, I think, made it pretty difficult.
Ralphie, what'd you see in Austin Matthews there? I thought he started well, but started to tail off as the game went on.
Yeah, and I think you saw as well. And now the ice time was up from his first game back. I think he was a little over 18 minutes tonight. When the final numbers have come in, 1807. So for Matthews, the shifts were a little longer, but I thought there were a couple of times near the end of his shift where it looked like he was absolutely bagged and couldn't get off the ice. And so that's just the conditioning that's going to have to come back at some point. But he is one of those guys, and that's when you realize the value of certain players, that he's one of those guys that if he's in the lineup, he has that one moment on the power play. That release, that really, you could say, is the difference in a hockey game. So even though, he could play 17 and a half minutes that don't look very dominant, give him that one chance, that one opportunity, and that could be the game. And I thought that's what it was for him tonight.
No, Ralphie, I mean, you're relying on that power play goal and the goaltender. I mean, what do we have here?
Yeah, there's still the other side of it is the... I think statistically it shows that if especially you get a multi-goal lead in a game, you're going to get outshot the rest of the way. I think, you start trying to lob pucks out instead of trying to make plays. It's more try to lob pucks out, and then you've got, you get Minnesota, the defense start pinching and guys start staying in the zone and they start trying to get everything to the net. So I think that's the case. I mean, the funny thing is just looking through the stats, Minnesota, I think it was the first four or five games of the regular season. They gave up three of the first four games more than 40 shots, including 57 against Carolina. They haven't hit that mark since in shots against. And where the Leafs seem to be going the other way, where I think it's now the last seven or eight that they've given up 39 or more. So that's I think a little bit of a concern, even though you might be playing with the lead. A lot of times in those games, I still think that's something that, you got to kind of monitor and be a little tidier in your own end.
Ralph, the team's got to be pretty, I don't want to say excited, but pretty, you have a pretty good feeling that the bottom six guys are starting to contribute a little more on the scoreboard. I mean, tonight you had Hyman with the two and obviously Kadri and Ennis contributing, and it's starting to be a game-to-game thing. I mean, they're really starting to kick it up a bit.
Yeah, and yet somebody's going to get squeezed out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, we can talk about whether it's, you know, Josh Levo, who has been a favorite for Mike Babcock to sit out over the last couple of years, or is it Tyler Ennis because Levo's got a little more size? Is it Lindholm and you try to move somebody else back down to the middle? It's going to be some, let's put it this way, it's a luxury of riches right now for Mike Babcock. And isn't it nice to have this kind of problem? You know, a lot of times, you know, as Joe was saying off the top, there's only three players that can be sent down without having to clear.
Yeah.
Dermott, Ozhiganov, and who's the other one?
We got Janssen.
So it, you know, and unless you want to go that route where maybe it's easier to send Janssen. Now, I don't think, I think the 5-6-D have been pretty good. Dermott and Ozhiganov. So I don't think you're going to see any movement there. So it'll be interesting. I think there might be some teams interested even in Freddie Gauthier if you try to get him through waivers. So there'd, I think you got to be careful. I think the Leafs were pretty much handcuffed when it came to their goaltending, what they were going to do at training camp. But you saw all of a sudden the depth in the system got depleted in a hurry. So I think they may stick with the safe choice if it's going to be a forward or. They might hopefully be able to get somebody down tomorrow without having them touched.
Yeah, this, Ralphie, sorry, it's Per Lindholm. It's not.
Lindholm can sit down, right?
Yeah. He's waiver exempt, and Kapanen, and obviously Ozhiganov and Dermott. Those are the four guys that are exempt.
Yeah, I know the two guys in the blue line you're not going to touch.
No, for sure.
Well, they seem to want to have eight blue liners for practice purposes, right?
Yeah, I'd say to an extent. Frankie Corrado loved the eight defensemen caring for the whole year. What has been somewhat amazing, though, is how over the last couple of years the defense really been pretty healthy. You know, they haven't.
Now that you said that.
There's the curse.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, I said it last year, too, and it didn't change anything. But it was enough to bring Roman Pulock back. But Boston, I think, has gone through, 10 or 12 D?
Oh.
This year, you know, it's been ridiculous. And that is the one position where it seems that you can't have enough depth because, you know, they're the guys that are getting slammed in the corner, going back into their own end, the guys that are blocking shots and, you know, most likely to find themselves in the injured list. And yet, from a Toronto standpoint, it's been pretty good.
Ralphie, you survived the Nylander deadline. It's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, to be... I don't know how else to say that. I was almost indifferent to it. I thought there were enough positives without him here, which included Kasperi Kapanen, who I think has a little more grit than Nylander. I don't think he's got his hands. I think he's got a little better speed. And you started looking and you said, you know what, worst case scenario, you might be giving up some skill. But Kapanen was the one guy to me where I said, you know, the guy can kill penalties. He's, you know, you see him coming with some chemistry with Austin Matthews. And if this is the way it's going to go, then, you know, the Leafs are still pretty blessed, pretty talented. And Joe and I were saying, you know, just a couple of days ago before Austin Matthews came back, if you looked at, we might have said this on post-game back in Toronto as well, but from a year ago, you added John Tavares and really... What you didn't have in the lineup from a year ago was Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, Komarov, Austin Matthews, and William Nylander. You added one, and you didn't have the other five in the lineup, and they seem like a better team. So I think that says something to the depth that they've got up front, even without William Nylander in the lineup.
Ralphie, what do you think of the 5-on-5 game the Leafs played tonight? I thought they did some, like I said at the start, you know, they had some spurts where they played real well, but then they had some other times they just looked discombobulated.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't seem to get a lot of clean exits.
Yeah,
you know where they had some speed coming out of the zone. I did like the fact that they didn't get caught cheating a lot, where they tried the stretch pass. But like I said, it really seemed to be cut into, you know, the first period for the Leafs, and then once Stahl got the goal, I think you got to give Minnesota a lot of credit because they pushed back, and it's one of those games. They've lost three in a row now. The Minnesota Wild have, and if there's that old adage that coming out of a losing streak, you might lose the last one that you should have won. This might be it for Minnesota.
Having said that, I mean, this team is 19-8-0. That is without some pretty good hockey players. I don't know where the ceiling is, but it looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, although, you know what? You can always see you get everybody back and you get the lineup that you said you'd hoped you had over the summer, and you lose four in a row. And everybody says, wait a minute, what's going on now? So what I like is, you know, without, especially with the Matthews injury, and, you know, the Nylander saga was something, I think, entirely different. But with the Matthews injury, I like the fact that this team played through that adversity.
Yeah.
That other players stepped up, whether it was your goaltender, whether it was John Tavares, whether it was Mitch Marner. A lot of guys stepped up. And there was no sense of panic or doom and gloom that they weren't going to be able to get the job done. So I like that. I mean, there's... a lot of people thought, and I might have been one of them, that thought if with Matthews out of the lineup, if they could play 500, you looked at that stretch, they had the Western or the California trip in there. They had a lot of, you know, tough matchups, and you thought if they could get through that 500, they should be happy. Well, guess what? They did a little better than that without him in the lineup, and I think that's where the positives come in.
Jimmy, what are you seeing in Patrick Marleau? It's not that he's playing bad. He's doing, I mean, he's playing okay, but I'm expecting to hear a little bit more from him whenever you're watching these games. And he's, I don't want to say disappeared, but I mean, sometimes it's good when you don't hear your name doing bad things. But I'm still looking for a little more out of him. What are your thoughts?
I would say steady.
Yeah.
Nothing spectacular. You know, it. I think he's still a strong skater, but I don't think from up top. Usually, you know, when you watch guys like Kapanen or Mitch Marner or even Morgan Rielly and Jake Gardner, you can see them take off and you can see them, you know, outrush the opposition. And Patrick Marleau, I don't see that as much this year. I thought last year it was noticeable at times.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually that, you know, what is it, 39 now? 39,
yeah, 40. Summer runner.
It's gonna, you know, I was good till about 50. So, but for some guys, you know, that number comes a lot.
Was that
earlier.
Minutes per game?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Was that age?
Yeah. Last 10
sit
minutes.
Sit-ups per year.
Last 10 minutes were a killer.
Well, you got me by 10 on that one.
Yeah. So the, but I would say, I mean, he hasn't looked out of place.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's still some savvy there. There's probably little plays that he makes to get you out of trouble, that he's not going to hurt you. But it's I think the other thing is too, when the speed of this team increases, you know, that's a pretty big job for him to try to keep up.
So you would see Kapanen with Matthews and Nylander.
I've thought that, and then, you know, because Marleau did play with Kadri last game when Matthews came back. I could see that sort of being two guys that are going to stay together, but it'll be interesting to see as this goes on, you know, where everybody's going to fit and where everybody's going to slot in.
Ralphie, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Take care, Jerry.
Jim Ralph reporting to us from Minnesota with the Leafs of 1-5-3 over the Minnesota Wild. Coming up next, post-game sound. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Back to the blue line to Suter. Oh, poked out at center ice. Zach Hyman muscles it in. Zach Hyman, empty net. Good night. Goodbye. It's over.
Thought I was being negative earlier.
In a friendly way.
That was the icing on the cake goal. Hyman's second of the hockey game. His sixth of the season into an empty net. 5-3. Leafs over Minnesota. I mean, the one thing you come out of this with is the team has learned how to weather a storm.
They have, and you know what? You're not going to win pretty every night, and tonight was one of those examples where, you know, Minnesota, for the most part, got the better of them. I thought they outplayed them in long stretches. The power play came through again, no question about that. I thought they did some good things early. I commented on it about, you know, they're doing a pretty good job in the second period, shutting down the Minnesota cycle pretty quickly, which is what you have to do to be effective defensively. But, you know, they won ugly tonight. Freddie had to make some huge saves again to keep him in it, but they did find a way to win, and that's what good teams do.
I mean, Minnesota's interesting to watch. The stall line is pretty impressive.
Well, yeah, they pretty much dominated the Tavares line tonight outside of a couple shifts. So, you know, that's a learning process for that Tavares line, knowing that they're going to be facing a lot of the top lines and the oppositions down the road here. And that stall line was outstanding. I mean, they could have had three, possibly four other goals tonight if they had any luck putting it in.
So Austin Matthews plays, what did we say, 1807?
1807, yeah.
1456 the other night, so an upgrade, probably taking a few more body shots tonight, so I guess the bar was raised.
Yeah, and you're looking at his shift length too, which isn't good. He's up around 51 seconds on average tonight, which is not good. And some of those he was just caught out in the defensive zone, couldn't get off. But that's going to push the averages up. But he's got to realize going through this process, coming back from being off so long, you're looking at 35, 40 seconds at the most in the first opportunity you have to change. You know, keep them short, keep them hard, stay fresh. It's going to be the best way to get back into feeling really good about yourself.
So when the music stops, somebody's going to be left without a chair up front in terms of either being waived or sent down or traded because there's going to be too many guys, right?
Yeah, there is. It's going to be interesting to see who it is. And I made the mistake. I said Andreas Janssen, but it is Per Lindholm up front. It's going to be tough. I feel bad for the guys because they've pulled together through this situation with both Nylander not being there, Matthews not being there with the injury, and they've built chemistry. They found ways to continue to win hockey games, and then all of a sudden one player comes back, and I don't want to say things are disrupted, but there are going to be adjustments there, and somebody's going to lose, you know, ice time and a position. So it will be interesting to see who goes, though, because there are going to be somebody. There is going to be somebody that's going to have to go on waivers.
But that's where they are. I mean, you're a step away from the Holy Grail, and you know, you've been on these teams.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that fine tuning, you have to really do the job correctly. Otherwise, you're out. I mean, there's really no wiggle room there, is there?
No, there isn't, Jimmy. And that's the scary thing. I mean, you know, Jimmy Ralph mentioned Josh Lavo. So you're looking at Freddie Gauthier, Tyler Ennis, Josh Lavo, Andreas Janssen, and Per Lindholm. Those are going to be the five guys. I don't want to say bottom players, but those are the five guys that are going to be, you know, feeling the heat a little bit. And there's going to be one of them gone, and it'll be interesting to see which one. So, you know, Lindholm, obviously, and doesn't have to go through waivers, but the other four do. So chances are you may lose somebody.
Well, and then you have to think about the versatility of each one of those guys and what you know, in terms of if you're dressing the lineup and they're not in it and there's an injury, you know, which one is more valuable that way too, right?
Right, and you're gonna look at you're gonna also decide which one brings the most. You know, who you can use as penalty kill. Who's going to be on a penalty kill? Chances are your bottom six guys are going to be on a penalty kill situation. Per Lindholm kills penalties. Andreas Janssen kills penalties. Josh Lavo right now is on the second power play unit, but if Nylander comes back, is at the spot that's taken. If he is on the second, if he's on the first, then whoever slides down is going to take that. So there's going to be adjustments. There's going to be massaging, and unfortunately, somebody's going to be on the outside looking in.
If that was your decision, what would you look at? Maybe you don't have to give me a name, but what would you look at as being expendable?
Expendable. Oh my gosh.
Or risk being expendable.
Well, let's take Per Lindholm out of the equation because he's waiver exempt. So
right.
We're not going to lose him. So we'll look at the other four. Andreas Janssen, he's got such potential by the looks of things, but he's been up and down through the course of the season up to this point. So there's one guy. Freddie Gauthier, I know Mike Babcock loves him. If it's me, I like him. I thought he was playing pretty well in that fourth line center slot, killing penalties, doing a good job there. Didn't look out of place. His speed some nights was a little bit off, but for the most part, I thought he did a great job. So do they want to lose a guy that's got some bulk and some size to him that can be effective killing penalties and playing that fourth line role? So he may be a guy that they want to hang on to. Andreas Janssen, do they have enough depth there in the organization?
Sure. I mean, because if you lose him, you could recall somebody else.
Right. Well, I mean, he's a great guy to bring up about losing because, I mean, he was, player of the Calder Cup playoffs last year. He won the most valuable player. And teams know that. I mean, they scout the minor league teams. And a guy that wins that award, a lot of teams feel that the guys like that have potential. So Josh Lavo, it'll be interesting. He's not putting up numbers. He's working hard. He's got some skill, but it hasn't been proven up to this point yet, so maybe he's the candidate. Who knows?
So that's going to happen sometime in the next week.
Well, so be it. That's the business of the game.
Absolutely. Let's hear from Coach Babcock.
Actions to getting the player you said the team would sign, and of course the ability to bend but not break here tonight.
Well, I thought, you know, obviously it was good news for our hockey club here today. Kyle and Preds and the guys did a real good job of getting that done. I know I wouldn't have the patience for that kind of thing myself, so it's good they were able to do it. And, you know, Willie was ecstatic. Just in after, obviously, wants to be back here, and we want him back here. So it'll take us, I don't know, 4 or 5 days to get him in the lineup, but then as soon as we can, we'll get him in. As far as tonight, I thought we started okay, and then I think, I don't know if we thought it was going to be easier or whatever, and then they're a big, heavy team that play real strong in the neutral zone. We turned the puck over, and they made it a hockey game, and we were resilient and found a way to win.
It was a play by Zach. It goes down as an empty netter, but it was a tough play at center ice.
Well, I mean, he's a competitive guy, right? And, you know, I thought the breakout play from guards to Mitchie in the play there when he shoots it backside, and that was a great play by him there. And then that play is another big play for us. So, you know, good for him and good for our team. We're going to end up as a team with lots of depth, and we're going to end up becoming a real good hockey club. I didn't think we had our E game at all in the second half of the game, and yet we found a way to win. That's a sign of a good team.
Mike, you said this morning that they're a team that forces you to do things you need to get better at doing.
Yeah.
If you were to judge it on that part of the game, do you think you were able to do that very well or not?
The way we scored, yes. So the big goal at the end to give it a two-game stretch was like that. The goal by Hyman was like that. Or the go-ahead goal, and then the goal by Hyman was like that. We should play them 20 times going into the playoffs. You know, now we got to make the playoffs, but we need to understand how heavy and how hard it is. And we're fun to watch. Mm-hmm. There's no question. But just because you're fun to watch doesn't mean you get to play a long time in the spring.
Yeah. 12-3 went outshot by an opponent. A lot of this on Freddie. Are you not that concerned that maybe some of those shots aren't the quality that they could be?
Well, we track scoring chances like crazy. So when they're not, we talk about that. When there's too many scoring chances, you know, that's on us. Tonight there was too many scoring chances.
Thank you.
See you guys.
That is Coach Babcock after the 5-3 win over Minnesota. Anything catch your ear?
Well, a couple things. Is there? I knew there was a lot of scoring chances, and Freddie had to stand on his head again tonight to get them out of here with the 2 points. But the other thing I really like to hear from Mike is he'd like to play Minnesota 20 times.
Yeah.
And what that is, it's going against teams that play that style. I mean, you know, Minnesota's not an overly skilled team. They do have some skill, there's no question. But the one thing they're good at, and I'm sure people that watch the game tonight or listen to it, they were finishing every check. And that's over a period of time in a series, in a postseason series, that wears you down. And there's only the only way you can get used to that and overcome it and learn how to handle it is to play teams like that over and over again. So I thought that was a great comment by Mike Babcock, knowing that to prepare to go into the postseason and go a long way, you're going to have to learn how to play against teams like this night after night.
So that brings up the obvious question. At what point, and you know the NHL schedule as well as anybody, there are things that happen on the NHL schedule that mean nothing in terms of, you know, your future in the playoffs. At what point do you know what you have or that what you have is good enough to win a playoff series based on how tightly you're going to be played?
Well, every time that they're going to play a team like Minnesota that plays that style, I don't want to say they're going to be judged, but you're going to be watching as a coach and a coaching staff to see how you handle it. Can you do it? Do you become frustrated? And we talk about the frustration factor prior to the game. And when you see your team overcoming those situations and finding ways to keep winning those games against those style that style of play and those teams, that's when you know you might have a good chance. But the biggest test after that is when you do get to the postseason and you're in a series against the team that plays the same way every night and that same way every night, heavy style of game.
Can you think back over the schedule that we've covered to date? Where was the other test like this?
Well,
you think about that. We'll take a break.
Off the top of my head, I couldn't think about that right now.
I'll throw the schedule at you.
Oh, I got it right.
Nice catch. And we'll think about that and have an answer.
Nice throw. Obviously, next. You weren't a baseball player.
Oh, guy. I was the throw with my left. I'm a righty. There you go.
You look more like a bowler.
Oh, guy. Leafs game night. TSN 1050. TSN1050.ca. That's up your alley. TSN and the iHeartRadio apps have us as well. And so does the Leafs Radio Network.
There's no better way to drive home than with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Overdrive every weekday, 4 to 7 p.m. on TSN 1050.
Martin with a pass to the other side. Shot scores! Austin Matthews! This is a recording! It's the same play made the other night.
Same play, nobody can stop it. That's his 13th of the season, gets the Leafs on the board.
Yep.
Have you figured out your answer? Other tests that would mirror tonight's game?
Yeah, absolutely. The back-to-back with Winnipeg, where they won both games. The Boston game, they lost 5-1, and it wasn't a very good team effort. But Boston's the same style. They finish their checks. They do the little things like that to try to wear you down. Columbus.
Right.
Same style of play. And, you split there 1-1, and it could have been 0-2. Be quite honest with you, because Columbus played pretty well in Toronto and then lost. But it's teams like that that are the ones that you want to play and get used to playing and find ways to overcome, because they play a very similar style as what Leafs saw tonight.
They can trip you up.
They can, and they just slow you down, and it takes energy over time. Everything's accumulative, so when you keep getting bumped and stopped, and you got to keep starting from a standing start, it takes its toll over you. And I know these guys are in great shape, but it still wears you down.
Well, it breaks your focus, doesn't it?
Breaks your focus. It starts to break you mentally. It wears you down physically and mentally. And it's something that they're going to have to find a way to battle through, because they're not going to be able to play wheel and deal in the postseason.
Austin Matthews gets a goal tonight, has 13 on the season. Here's what he talked about postgame.
Yeah, I think, being able to kind of get engaged in the game early, I mean, still not feeling completely like myself, but it's just two games in, so I think I'll continue to play, get my legs back under me, my wind back. I just hope to continue to play better and better. But tonight, that's a team that they're very good in the neutral zone. They don't give you much. They kind of bore you a bit. You can get too fancy if you turn the puck over too much, and they're coming back our way. So that's their system, and we got to do better things.
Mitch, I guess, had to get you the pass high. How high off the ice was it for you to cradle before you can get it off your stick?
Well, it wasn't too far off the ice, but still kind of gave me a bomb there. But, he threaded the needle, and I was able to, knock it off and just knock it down and get it off my stick as quick as possible, and was able to capitalize. So I think power play has been playing a pretty big part for us the last couple of games, and we obviously want to continue that.
What was it like before the game?
It's great. It's great news. We hope to get him here as soon as possible. He's a big part of this team. Hopefully, it's the ground running here. Getting a couple practice. It's the same thing. Like coming back from injury, you need a couple games to kind of get going. But I'm sure he's been skating quite a bit, and he's excited to get back with his teammates and start playing in hockey games.
Have they put it to rest too, and just kind of the situation behind you guys?
You guys got one day, and then you got to find something else to talk about. So, lucky for you, this has been going on for months, and the ball just keeps rolling, and so it's nice to put it to rest. A couple more articles probably tomorrow, Monday, finish it off, and then on to the next story.
How does you guys find out? The team has done very, very well without him and without Harry. What's to say about the team?
A lot of depth. A lot of depth. A lot of guys obviously stepping up in big moments. I think that's a big key to our team, and something that we have going for us that not a lot of teams do is having a lot of depth. When guys go down, other guys step up, and we got tons of skill to go with it.
Talk about Mitch Marner's playing the way that he thinks to set guys up.
Yeah, he made some great plays tonight. Obviously, it's like every night he's got three, four plays where he kind of just gets you on the edge of your seat. So, a really nice pass to me on that power play. And obviously the patience he had, to get that puck to the net, and obviously Jaime tipping it was a big goal for us.
That is Austin Matthews after the 5-3 win. In terms of the Nylander story and the content business, we call that the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it wears on you after a while, though. It's
better than having nothing to say.
Oh, yeah, good point, I guess. But boy, oh boy, was that beaten to death.
It was, right to the end.
Yes, it was, to the end.
And then it opened another
door. But you know what? It's a great day. He signed. He's back. Now, what are we going to talk about?
Well, I want to go back to that point about we spent a lot of time talking about the bottom part of the roster, and we're talking about a game against Minnesota, and it's kind of a measuring stick game in terms of how it's played and how the opposition plays you. But when you have top-end skill talent, how do you teach them to compete or go through that stuff? Because, as you say, if you're used to having your way and you don't get it, I mean, nature of sport is, much like life, come up with a solution. Don't cry about what's wrong.
Well, and it's a great question and a great statement, Jim, and that's what championship teams do. I mean, Washington was kicked in the backside for how many years by Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
And it was because Pittsburgh were mentally tough enough to know what they had to do, the walls they had to go through, the sacrifices they had to make to win hockey games, and especially in the postseason. And Washington wasn't at that point yet. And now you see Washington play last year in the postseason, and you've got the Ovechkins blocking shots and the Backstroms blocking shots and getting to the loose pucks first because it means something. And that's what this team is going to have to learn, Toronto, if they want to go, you know, a good distance in the postseason and hopefully get to the Stanley Cup Finals to get the opportunity to win the Cup. But they're going to have to understand that mentally, first and foremost, they've got to make that commitment to battle through this. Because if they don't, they're going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's part of the learning process with a young team is the older guys that are here, they know what it takes and how to get through that stuff, even though they've never won a Stanley Cup outside of Ron Hainsey. But these young kids have no idea. They think they know, but they don't. And going through things like they did tonight is a learning process. And you've got to overcome it mentally to learn how to deal with it and do it more than physically. Because once your mind says, you know what, we're going to do this. I don't care if I get whatever I got to do. Then the body follows.
It's an interesting study because when you bring up Pittsburgh and Washington and you can throw San Jose in there, Pittsburgh learned it in a short time. Washington took a long time and San Jose never got it.
Right. And that's the separation.
But really, if you looked at the rosters, the team that should have got it was San Jose.
Skill-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't mentally there to do it. I mean, look at the teams that won in L.A., the way they played. They played a hard,
big, thick team.
Big, thick team, and yep, they did whatever they had to do. They played physical. They blocked the shots. They took the hit to make the plays. It wasn't always their superstars that were winning them hockey games. And tonight was a classic example of what it might take is the Kadrys, the Hymans, the Ennises, the, you know, there's...
Well, even some of the goals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They weren't pretty. They were throw it at the net and greasy. But you know, it's a positive sign for this team that the bottom side of the lineup, outside of Hyman, who's on the first line, you know, is contributing. And it's starting to happen more and more often. And when they can get that going night after night where they can, you know, chip in here and there, it's a huge, huge thing for this team.
Mitch Marner, 2 assists tonight, 32 assists on the season. And here he is postgame.
14-0 when leading after two periods of play. I know tonight was a real challenge. What's been the key over this span that's allowed this team to be a little more resilient in the late going?
We got a lot of faith in each other. We got four lines deep. For us, it's just making sure when we get out there, we're playing the right way, not turning over the puck in the neutral. I think when we're playing at our best is when we're getting the puck in, we're chasing teams, and we're playing good hockey down low, and that's something that we need to do a lot more of, I think.
Get all his legs back. How's it look to you since he's been returned to the lineup?
Yeah, he's looked great, but I mean, that's always the case when guys get injured. I mean, he was out for, I don't know how many games, you guys probably know. Of course. And then, 14 games is a long time off. I mean, you can bag skate as much as you want, but it's really nothing like playing a hockey game. So, I mean, he looks great out there, though. It looks like he hasn't missed 14 games. It looks like he's only really missed one or two, but his legs, I'm sure I'll come back in as long as the two.
How long do you think it'll take Willie to come back now that he's coming back?
I don't know. That guy's a freak. He does some stuff on the ice that, he works hard on the ice. So, I mean, I'm sure he's been keeping up all that kind of stuff in Sweden, but it's nice to have him back for sure.
How do you feel for him? Happy for him, obviously?
Yeah, no, I'm very happy. I mean, he's a big part of his team. We've been saying that all along. So having him back again, it's just going to add more fire to this team and make us deeper. So it's exciting. Can't wait to have him back, and he's a great player, so we're excited about it.
How did you find out the news, and just what was it like before the game?
Yeah, Well, a couple guys came early, so we're kind of all sitting in here. Then Babs kind of popped out of the office and said we signed him. And then, of course, everyone nowadays just goes right to a phone. So it was about 20 of us walk over, grab our phones, and next thing you know, you see the signing. And like I said, we're all really excited about it. Everyone texted him in here, and we can't wait to get him back to Toronto.
What were you guys doing? Were you all texting him or telling other people?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, as soon as I heard the news, I kind of got on there and texted him right away and said congrats. Like I said, I mean, we're all excited to have him back. It's a big part of our team and just adds a little bit more depth to us.
Austin described your pass to him as a bomb, but I guess you had to make it that way to get it to him given the traffic you were going through.
Yeah, no, it was definitely... it's pretty impressive how he knocked it down, but I'll be talking about how he said that. but yeah, no, I agree with him. I mean, it wasn't a pretty pass, but we knew beforehand that they had a tight penalty kill in zone. I saw him open for a quick second and kind of saw a stick come through, so I knew I kind of had to throw a kind of a harder sauce. Didn't get down the way I wanted to, but he knocked it down, and he's got a quick release, so it doesn't really surprise anyone.
It's the first time since like the 30s the Leafs have won 19 of their first 27 games. Are you starting to feel like this is a special, special team?
I think we've known that for a while. We all believe in each other in this room. The last 2 years we believed in each other even when we were young. So I think it's the last 2 years we've just been experiencing stuff that we can build off of. And for us, just making sure that we get better every single year. This year I think we have the most depth we had in the past three. So. We just gotta make sure we come ready to play every night. We can't let our skill just dictate the game. We gotta make sure we're coming in and working, and that's how you're gonna win games.
That is Mitch Marner after the 5-3 win. Summed it up nicely, didn't he?
Very much so. He was going down that path of pretty much saying we've got to do what we have to do to win, and it's not always going to be skill that overtakes everything. It's battle. It's mentality of doing what needs to be done.
What do you make of Tyler Ennis?
Well, if I could recognize him when he's doing an interview, no, I'm only kidding. You know what? I think he's done a great job at buying into the role that he's been put in. He's obviously probably not happy with it. I think he's happy he's still playing. He's obviously the success he's had when he first came into the league in Buffalo has changed. And he went through Minnesota and got an opportunity here. And I think he's made a great decision. He's made a great impact, I think, on this team. When younger guys are looking at a guy of his stature who put up numbers for a few years, is now on the fourth line and busting his backside and doing whatever he has to do to stay alive. And I'm pretty impressed with him, to be quite honest with you.
Tyler Ennis, post-game.
How did you feel the score against your old team?
Yeah, it felt good. It was a tight game, stingy. They didn't give up much. But to see that go in felt pretty good.
But you knew that about this team, right? They're stingy. I mean, you're familiar with how they play.
Yeah, we were prepared for them to clog up the neutral and not give us much. We knew to be patient, but really I think Freddie played great, stood on his head, and I think he got us to win.
How does this team compete against those big, heavy teams? Obviously capable given its record and then the different ways you've managed to win. How did they make it difficult here tonight, Tom?
Well, they stress a lot in the neutral zone, clogging it up, you know, try to wear you down. It's important to be patient against them. For us, we had to play to our strength and try to beat them with speed. They did a really good job. I think, you know, the biggest thing was Freddie played great tonight, and it was a great win.
You're getting another important piece added to this team when Willie shows up. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's exciting. Just kind of adds another weapon to a dynamic offense, and you know, we're excited to have him.
Is there any extra emotion or feelings coming into this game because you was against your old team?
It was it's such a fun rink to play in, and there's a lot of energy here. You know, it was easy to get up for a game like this. You know, it was just a fun win, really.
A lot of talent on this team. What does it mean for the fourth line to produce the way you did and bang as hard and win those battles to get the opportunity that you did?
Yeah, it felt good. You know, they didn't give us a lot. You know, it was tight, so to get one was a positive, and it was a big win, and now we just move forward.
That is Tyler Ennis after the 5-3 win. Coming up next, the TSN Turning Point. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Six.
A long lead pass brings the Leafs and Brown in on the left wing. Brown into the corner, slid by one, works in back of the net, centers in front of the goal, the rebound scores! Johnson was in front of the goal, but it's Nazem Kadri who's able to tuck it off a player, and the Leafs gain the lead with 3:20 to go.
En route to a 5-3 win over the Minnesota Wild. Lots of stuff going on in the NHL today. I just ripped through this. Jump in where you want. Ottawa 6-2 over San Jose earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, that's not a very nice homecoming for Erik Karlsson, but San Jose's in trouble. I mean, they're not playing well with the on paper. They look like a great team, but on the ice, I mean, we saw them firsthand against Toronto. Did not look good, and obviously tonight in Ottawa is not a step in the right direction for them, that's for sure.
They are 12-10-5. Ottawa's 12-12-3. Dallas wins in Vancouver, and Dallas won by a score of 2-1. Dallas is 14-10-3. Vancouver 11-15-3. What I'm trying to tell you is there's a lot of teams either slightly below or slightly above 500, and I don't know what any of that means, but there's a lot of teams stuck in quicksand.
Well, that's a good analogy. Quicksand is, they win a couple and they struggle and they all of a sudden you start sinking back in again. You lose two or three. So, but that's the National Hockey League. You can't look at the National Hockey League right now and pick one team that's a dominant team, because any given night anybody can be beaten, and that's what Gary Bettman and the NHL wanted. Is they wanted everybody to be able to compete and contend. And obviously that's where we sit. I mean, you got some teams that are taking off right now, but there isn't one that I can guarantee is going to win most nights, because just the way they play, the way they shut down people, and the abilities they have to score goals. And,
well, even the Leafs are 19-8-0, but were they dominant? No.
No. In some games they were. Yeah, others they weren't. I mean, the Leafs, as far as I'm concerned, Leafs are still depending quite a bit on Freddie Anderson. And tonight is another example of that.
By the way, coming into this segment, we had the Kadri goal. That was a TSN Turning Point brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. Montreal 12-9-5 now after a 5-2 win over the 13-12-2 Rangers. Another example.
Yeah. Nate, Rangers had their spurt after the coaching change, and Quinn comes in, and sure enough, they get off to a good start, but now reality's setting in and they're starting to fade back as they were. And Islanders are very similar. I mean, Trotsky came in and did a great job getting them going, but they're up and down. I believe they won tonight. They beat Columbus tonight, I believe 3-2.
Look, I'm doing the scoreboard here.
Just relax.
Wow.
Well, you said jump in and say whatever I want.
So I said whenever, yeah.
Keep it quiet over there.
Wow. So Tampa 5-4 in overtime over Florida. Winnipeg 4-3 in overtime over New Jersey. The aforementioned Islander win 3-2 over Columbus. Oh, you got nothing now. Good. Philadelphia 4-2 over Pittsburgh. Chicago got wasted by Nashville 5-2. Detroit won in Boston for the first time in eons 4-2. Arizona 6-1 over St. Louis. And it is Edmonton 1-0 over the Golden Knights in the first period. The Coyotes game is now done. 6-1.
Wow. Oof. Holy smoke.
Some of these teams dumped their coaches, but they're no better for it.
Well,
what does that mean?
That means their team isn't very good. I mean, St. Louis is getting old. I mean, Bomeister's seen his better days, and Pietrangelo on the back end is still a decent player, but nothing's falling into place. I mean, Robbie Fabry came back from 2 years of not playing with injuries, and, they've got some guys.
He got an injury tonight.
Fabry did.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's
upper body injury.
It's not good to be fragile. So, they're just a broken team right now.
All kinds of trade talk.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've got to do something. They've got to bring the fans back and get them behind them again. But, again, they're a broken unit right now.
Let's go back to some reaction on the Nylander signing. This is Craig J. Button on SportsCenter.
The Leafs now have good problems. What do they do with Matthews? What do they do with Marner down the road? But first off, who does Nylander play with? And you said he should be matched up with Matthews. But going back to Nylander's contract, 6 years, $6.9 million. Is this a win-win for both sides?
I clearly see it as a win-win for both sides. You got to keep in mind, too, with William Nylander, is that, you know, it's great that everybody talks about, oh, yeah, he's going to be a Maple Leaf for life, but sometimes budgetary constraints come into play. So William Nylander was not only looking at the contract offered to him by the Toronto Maple Leafs, he wanted to make sure that he had a contract that if he did get traded, you know, represented his value out on the marketplace. You know, when Brendan Shanahan, the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs at the beginning of the season, the season opening game, talked about, you know, the team, and we realize where we're at with our salary cap, and we're asking our players to consider it, and that is fair. I mean, I don't think Brendan ever said you got to take less or we want, but you know, this is what we got to do to fit everybody in, right? And the players understand that. But I think also at the same time, you know what, William Nylander's going, that's great, but you know, if I'm going to fit in, I have no trade protection. They can trade me at any point in time. So you know what, I have to protect myself personally a little bit in case we get to that scenario. You can tell me all you want, you're not going to trade me, I'm going to be a Maple Leaf for life, we love you and everything like that, but the reality of the salary cap is you might be left with no other choice but to trade him. So that's where Nylander had to dig into me. We don't know what the structure of the contract is, we don't know what the signing bonus is, so we're going to have to wait for those details before we can determine how much money he lost this year, because it might not be as much as everybody thinks. And when you look at how it works, we're going to have to see, you know, as the contract escalates in the years after 2 and 3, what it looks like and go from there. Because the salary cap hit is the salary cap hit. That doesn't change. The other thing, and they talked about it with the team as it's currently constructed, it's very clear. This very well may be a team, and you can only deal with now, the here and now. We don't know how a young player is going to progress or how another player is going to take a step up in his play. This team right now is a serious Stanley Cup contender, a serious Stanley Cup contender. So William Nylander enhances that. You got to consider that we talk about Matthews, we talk about Marner. Well, next summer, they may not be able to keep Jake Gardiner. So when you're looking at your team now and you're saying to yourself, okay, we got a really good team here. We have Jake Gardiner. We don't know how this is all going to play out. That's why it became really imperative for the Toronto Maple Leafs to get a deal done too. Because if we're sitting here right now, Sarah, talking about no deal, it's not good for William Nylander.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that it's equally not as good for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And sometimes, you know, my father always used to tell me, you never want to be dead right. And so you got to be careful when you're in a negotiation that you don't find yourself in that spot just trying to dig into a position that really there's no way to come out of it.
Okay, well, Nylander now with a chance to win the Stanley Cup along with the Leafs. Does he jump right back in with Auston Matthews?
Well, that's where I'd put him. Yeah. I mean, that's where he plays. And I mean, I think that when you consider, okay, you got Hyman, you got Tavares, and you got Marner. I really like the way Kapanen, Kadri, and Marlowe played together. Just put Kasperi Kapanen up there with those guys. And now you've got Nylander and Matthews. To me, William is such a great fit for Auston Matthews because he's a shooting threat. He can score from distance, but he's an exceptional passer. And Auston Matthews can get the puck in prime position where he can score, and Austin's a very good passer as well, so he can take advantage of William Nylander. I see those two guys, 29 and 34, as complete complementary players. So that's where you can go. Andreas Johnsson looks like he's taking his game to another level. That looks like a pretty good three-line attack that are going to keep opposing coaches up late at night.
That is Craig J. Button with Sarah Davis from SportsCenter. And, you know, the one thing that we haven't talked much about is the Nylander deal does not have a no movement. He can be traded.
Yes. He does have, in the last year, he does have a modified no movement clause in the last year of the deal. But up until then, he can be moved at any time.
So when you look at the Leaf list, Tavares, Marlowe, Hainsey have no move, no trade. Nazem Kadri has one, but starting this year, he can submit a 10-team no trade list.
Yeah.
So limited movement, but can be moved.
Yeah. I mean, it's
important to know all that stuff because...
Oh, very much so, especially for the teams that may be interested in looking at these players, but also for the Leafs themselves. And it's something that maybe was a sticking point in the deal.
5-3, the Leafs win over the Minnesota Wild tonight. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
On Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network.